Good morning, everyone. Presence. Wow, the sound when you all are not here is very echoey here. Miss you all. Miss you all very, very much. I know that in this time that for some people, this has been fine. This has been in some ways joyful for some folks. For some folks, I know that this has been really, really difficult, and I want us to continue to try to understand everyone's situation and to encourage each other and strengthen each other. As Mike said, let's be calling and texting and reaching out to everyone. What a time for us to be loving one another and our non-believing neighbors and family members and co-workers in this time also. Take this quick opportunity to give a few shout-outs. I want to say hi to Finn and Tommy. Hey guys, how you doing? I got a great hello from them last week looking at the screen. Hey guys. Say hi to Emma and Colin if you guys are watching. And say hi to my boys, Zachary, Samuel, Jeremiah, Micah. Just want to say hi to everyone. Say hi to everyone out there. I don't mean to be just limited, but I want to say hi to everyone. And it's a blessing that we can gather, even if though it is virtual. I'm very, very thankful that we can be together this morning to worship the Lord, because God is everywhere. God is everywhere. And let's turn to Him now in prayer. Father God, we come before You desiring to know You, to be with You, to experience You, to be comforted, Lord, by Your Word, to be taught by Your Word, to be shaped and formed by the truth of Your Holy Word, Lord God. We come to You in this time of great difficulty for each of us. We come to You in this time of uncertainty and confusion, where so much of life has been turned upside down, O God. Lord, You are our constant. And we pray, O Lord God, You would be our rock in this time. Lord, I pray specifically as we go into this passage this morning, that You by Your Holy Spirit would speak to us and would work within each and every one of us, Lord God. I pray, Father, that we would know that we know You and that we are known by You. You are a good, good Father. We love You, O Lord God, and we seek Your face now. We pray to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, how do we know? How do we know that we know the Lord? How do we know that we are born again, that we abide in Him, that we are part of His family? You know, there's not a blood test to take to see if you're a Christian. You can't look at a certain mark on your head or something to see if you are a Christian. The Scriptures affirm the truth that God is Spirit, so we can't even see Him and touch Him. How do we know that we are known by God and that we know God? Well, John the Apostle is going to turn to this in this next section of his letter to the churches. He's going to try to address this question of how do we know? And of course, because this is not something like knowing that 2 plus 2 equals 4, or knowing that the sky is blue, this is much larger. This is not about, knowing God is not a fact that we can learn in school or look up on the internet or something like that. It's not a factual. Knowing is relational. It's a relationship. So how do we have confidence? How do we have assurance in our relationship with God? Will you turn with me, please, to the book of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And this morning we will look at verses 13 to 21. 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 to 21. This is the Word of God. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has nothing to do with, fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is God's word. Abiding in Christ. It's one of the descriptions that John loves to use for being a Christian. Abiding, dwelling, housing with, finding our home with Jesus in an ongoing, eternal relationship that we are one with Him, that we join together with Him, that we remain with Him and in Him now and forevermore, abiding in God, in Christ. And he calls out in verse 13 and says, he wants to tell us how we can know that we abide in Him. Verse 13, by this, meaning what he's about to tell us, so John often does this, and he's not, when he says by this, he's not referring backwards, he's usually referring forwards. By this, what I'm about to tell you, we know that we abide in Him and He in us. Don't we want to know that? Isn't that where we want to have confidence in that? We want to have a sense of surety. I know it's never consistent, our surety, that for many of us our knowing that we are Christians and that we are born again waxes and wanes. That happens to many of us. I go through that myself at times. We all do, or many of us do, that that's a challenge that we have. And so John is addressing this to say, here's how we know that we abide in God. And again, it's not going to be the way we expect. It's not some simple factual thing or some list we can check off. You can't look at a secret note or something. It's much larger than that, and it's relational. We know we abide in Him, one, because, the end of verse 13, He has given us the Holy Spirit. End of verse 13. We know we abide because He has given us of His Spirit. When we believe in Jesus Christ, when we come to Him in faith, trusting Him for our salvation, God sends the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in our hearts, to dwell within us. Peter preaches this and says this as a universal thing for all believers, for all Christians, in this first sermon on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Peter preaching to the crowds. Again, the Holy Spirit has just been poured out upon the disciples. They go into the streets where, by God's providence, millions of people have gathered to celebrate festival, and they get to preach in everyone's languages who they've gathered from different nations, and the apostles can preach and speak in all the different languages so that people can understand them. And Peter says in verses 38 and 39, Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and," here's what happens, "you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and who all are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." The gift of the Holy Spirit isn't reserved for some. It's not sometimes. It's not partial. God gives his Spirit to all believers, to everyone who confesses Christ. And the Holy Spirit works within us. In God's providence, again, it's not an instantaneous transformation where we go from sinner to perfect. That will be heaven. We'll be sin-free. But God has chosen that this is a process, a work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification, a process of working holiness, of shaping and forming and molding us by the working of His Holy Spirit within us. And with the Holy Spirit, as He shapes and forms us over our lifetime, He brings about the gifts of the Spirit. He brings about the fruit of the Spirit. As we look back over our lives of walking with Christ, if there is a growing of some of the fruit that we see at times, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, it doesn't mean perfect. We know from John's very letter here for 1 John. He says if we claim to be without sin, we lie. If we say, "Oh, I expect that if I'm a born-again believer, right away I have all the fruit of the Spirit perfectly. I love perfectly. I have perfect self-control." No, but as we walk in the Spirit, day by day, year by year, the Holy Spirit works within us, working these fruits. Again, it's a shaping process, a forming process. And we know that we know God, we know that He knows us, we know we are born again because God has sent His Holy Spirit into each and every one who is a believer in Christ. Second, we know we abide in Him because of the apostles' testimony. Verse 14. This is linked very, very closely to the sending of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's testimony and the apostles' testimony, as we find in the Word of God, go together. Verse 14. "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." John is referring here when he says "we" to the apostles, to those who saw Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. He says, "We have seen that God sent the Father sent the Son, and we testify." It's one of the most powerful evidences, really, that God's Spirit was at work. You see, the disciples, before Jesus is risen from the dead, they're terrified. We see Peter refuses even to acknowledge that he knows Jesus. And as soon as the Holy Spirit comes, it's completely transformed. And they go out and they witness and they tell everybody and they testify to everybody that Jesus Christ is God, that He is the Savior of the world, and that we must believe in Him to be born again. They go out and they witness. And they have seen the risen Christ. And they testify to Him. And in this testimony of the Word from the apostles, in God's Word, we know that Jesus is the Savior of the world. The end of verse 14 here. What are they testifying to? What have they seen? Not that there was a man named Jesus walking around. That's not what they're testifying to. They're testifying to that He is the Savior of the world. That He is our Savior. And in being our Savior, He knows us. And we know Him. It's not based upon here for this second evidence that they're showing of how we know we abide in Christ. It's not about what we do. It's about the truth of the Word of God. Oh, how wonderful is that? My assurance isn't based on my feelings. My feelings fluctuate all over the map. Throughout one day, I'm finding that a lot right now, that throughout one day I can be very hopeful at one point and then feel despair the next moment or a few hours later. If my knowing that God loves me, that God saves me, is based upon how I feel at any given moment, I have no assurance at all. But thanks be to God, it's based upon His Word and His testimony of what is true, that Jesus is the Savior of the world and all who call upon Him are saved. We know that we abide in Him because He's given us His Holy Spirit, because of the Apostles' testimony, and third, because we personally acknowledge Jesus is the Christ. Verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Now, our faith in Jesus isn't just dependent upon what we say with our mouths. It isn't just upon believing certain or trusting certain absolute truths about the nature and character of God. But it's no less than that either. This according to David Jackman, who has outlined these 5 points that we're looking at this morning of evidences. He's saying our confession of Christ is part of acknowledging our faith in Jesus Christ. Being born again doesn't just mean you have good thoughts about Jesus. What a swell guy he was. I really appreciate Jesus. I think he has really good things to say. I think he was the one that we should all emulate. That's not saving faith. That's not knowing him. We must also confess, not just with our words, but with our whole being. I believe, this is why we say the great creeds of the church. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He died and rose again. We confess that we believe in Jesus. And here's what I think is so hopeful in this time of such uncertainty in our country. I think we have an opportunity here to encourage each other, to glorify God, and to witness to non-believers around us by simply testifying to each other and testifying to our neighbors. I do believe in Jesus. I do believe He is the Son of God. I don't know all the answers. I don't know why coronavirus came. I don't know why some people are dying and some aren't. I don't know why everything's all confusing and the economy's going downhill so fast. But I do know that my hope is in Jesus, and I do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And we can testify to that to one another when we each need that encouragement, and to non-believers. Now, I am not saying this as some big to-do for us. I know that there are many Christians, and God bless them, this may be their calling, and that's wonderful, who see this as a great opportunity for mission. For us in this time of the coronavirus to be very, very proactive in all we do in reaching the lost. Praise God, that's wonderful. I think for others, we're just trying to survive the day, to get through a day. And that's okay. If through it we continue to testify with our mouths, with our actions, with our lives, with our thoughts, that we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And now, as opportunity allows, you may be talking with a neighbor across the road or walking down the street, and you may have a chance to say, it's crazy, I don't know what's going on, but I do believe in Jesus. An opportunity to testify. And in testifying to one another, there's a knowing. There's a confidence. There's a certainty, a surety that we are saved. That God does love us and we do abide in Him. When we testify, even when we say it, I believe in Jesus. When we say it to ourselves, when we say it to each other, when we say it to non-believers, there's a confidence, there's resonates within our souls the truth that we are born again. We know we abide because He has given us His Holy Spirit. We know we abide by the testimony of the apostles. We know that we abide in Him and He in us because we personally acknowledge Jesus. And number four, because we trust God's love. Verses 16 through 19. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides, lives, dwells in love, abides in God, and God abides in him. This is again one of John's main themes of his letter, that God is love. This is how he ended the last section there. We looked at verses 7 through 12. That great proclamation in verse 8 of those three words, God is love. And he's reminding us of that again, but now saying that because of who God is, because of who he's proclaimed to be, because of his sending of his Holy Spirit, because of our belief, because of the testimony of the apostles, we trust in his love. We believe and trust in the love of God. Even when we don't understand what's going on around our life, we can see from Scripture. We can see from the lives of saints who've gone on before us. We can see when we encourage one another that God is love and He loves you. And He loves us. And so we depend on that love. We hope on that love. We trust on that love. Sometimes with bloody fingernails, just grasping on. When all else seems to be shaken, we say, I know what I see, I know what I feel, but I know God is love. And I know God loves me. And when we don't feel that, we encourage each other in that. We strengthen each other in that. And in doing so, we come to trust more and more in the love of God. And in that, we know that we abide in Him and He in us, according to John writing here in verse 16. The love that we trust in of God, God's love, John goes on to write, that when it is perfected, which it's not now, our love will never be perfected now. That is what it will be in heaven. But that growing process drives out fear. Fear of God has to do with judgment. But knowing that we are loved by God drives out that fear. Again, that's when love is perfected, according to John here, and we're not there yet, but we're growing in it. It's not always a straight line. There's growing in God's love, growing in trusting in God's love. Sometimes we take a few steps forward, and we take a few steps backwards, but it's an ongoing process throughout our lives, growing and learning to trust in God's love. We know we abide in Him because He has given us His Holy Spirit. We know we abide in Him because of the apostles' testimony. We know that we abide in Him because of our personal testimony, our personal belief and declaration that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We know that we abide in Him because we trust in the love of God. And the final way that John speaks to how we know we abide in Him is one of His old, familiar commands / encouragement / fruit, evidence. We know we abide because we love one another. Verses 20 and 21. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. That we love one another. We believe in Christ. The Holy Spirit comes and works within us. And part of that work within us is He grows love for one another. It again, like our trusting in God's love, is not perfected instantaneously. I know it seems like it'd be so much easier if that were the way. But in God's great wisdom, He has chosen to do it differently as a growing process. But as we grow closer to Christ, we see that our love for one another grows. We see that God works miracles in our lives, sometimes very quickly, sometimes over a span of time, where there's people that we have such bitterness towards that we can begin to forgive them. The people that are very different than we are, we can love them. We can hope and pray and work for what is best for them. Loving one another is one of the evidences, assurances that we abide in God because God is love and He loves us. Therefore, we are to love one another. Brothers and sisters, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you belong to God. You are God's precious child. He is our God and we are His people. We are His children. He holds us in the palm of His hand. He has sent His Holy Spirit. The Word of God shouts forth that we are His. We have personally testified. We have personally decried that we believe in Jesus Christ. We love one another. We trust in God's love for us. We belong to God, brothers and sisters. Let us encourage each other when our hope is weak. Let us testify to our neighbors to the great love of God. We don't have to explain the universe. We can just say and live the truth that God is love. And that because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we belong to Him. Let's pray. Father God, You are love. And because of Your great love, You sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. That all who believe in You are born again, are saved, are brought from death to life, and are by your grace abiding with you now and forevermore. Pray, O Lord God, that you would strengthen us when we don't believe. Encourage us in our unbelief, O God. Fill our hearts and our minds and our mouths and our lives with the testimony of the goodness of Jesus Christ, O Lord God. And strengthen our hearts to hope in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.